Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans and Jeff Shade, a show that simplifies the complexities of investments, taxes, retirement, and more so you can discover how to better sustain yourself and your wealth for years to come. Brian is a CPA with 30 years experience and a financial advisor, which brings a unique perspective to the financial world. This show is brought to you by Madrona Financial and CPAs, home of the Rooted Wealth Plan. Want a retirement plan designed to last 30 plus years? Go to MadronaFinancial.com and click Get Started to see what the Rooted Wealth Plan can do for you. And now, here are your hosts, Brian Evans and Jeff Shade.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans, the show that gives you the straight talk and honest answers you need to help sustain yourself and your wealth for 30 plus years. On today's show, we're going to be talking about five good strategies that many people implement incorrectly. Also, the difference between your standard plan and a comprehensive plan. My name is Jeff Shade, and as always, I'm just here to ask the questions, but of course, the words of wisdom and solid advice come from Brian Evans, CEO and President of Madrona Financial and CPAs. Hey, Brian, how are you doing this weekend?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jeff.
Always glad to hear that, Brian. I hope our listeners are doing well today, too. And as always, we've got another fine show lined up for us today. Brian, we talk about a number of financial topics on our show every week. I mean, we talk about things such as income taxes and Social Security. I mean, you name it, we've talked about it on this show. In your experience, is there a certain order that should be considered when putting together a financial plan? I mean, is it possible to put the cart before the horse, as they say?
Yeah, I was thinking about this topic, and it's about us misaligning our priorities. And it's not that the priority we may think is important isn't. All of them are. There's many different priorities that we're trying to solve for with financial planning. I think that's the crux of it. And what I think happens for people that we meet for the first time is that they have an important priority, and they're kind of being reactionary. So let's say that the market went up, and they're thinking to themselves, gosh, I missed out. I missed out on potential growth. I need to go see someone about this because I have a problem. Okay, so that becomes their priority. Or let's just say that the market went down and they're going, oh no, I just retired and now I'm worried about my retirement because the market's down. Am I going to be okay? Uh-oh, did I make a huge mistake? And so they're reactionary. So they say, I need to protect my assets. I need that as a priority. And often it's just above all else because that's what's on their mind. Or let's say they got a Visa bill that month, a credit card bill, and they're going, oh no, I had planned on spending $4,000 a month. We just spent $6,500. We're in trouble. I need a better cash flow plan. And so, again, they become very reactionary. And it's perfectly logical. Of course they are. They have a need. There's something that came up that made them, you know, nervous about their retirement planning or their financial planning. We're going to talk about in the second half of the show what real financial planning looks like. And so they come in as a reactionary thing and say, I need to solve for X. But the reality is they need to solve for X, Y, Z, Q, R. You know, there's many different things we want to solve for, not just X. We will solve for X, but no one investment, as we always say on the show, can solve for everything. And unfortunately, our industry often puts that forward. It's like, hey, just buy our product and you'll be just fine. Well, I don't subscribe to that. I subscribe to the thought that there are many different things to solve for concurrently. And we can have a prioritization as to which one of those things are most important. But we need to align our priorities with our investments, with our life plan. Life plan actually overriding investment selection. And so that's what I want to talk about in this segment today.
So it sounds like that some people are really just focusing on the minor things, but really losing sight of the big picture. And if you don't have the big picture in mind, how do you know what pieces of the puzzle to put together in order to reach the big picture? In other words, they are indeed putting their cart before the horse.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the five things that investments can do on this show a lot. They can provide cash flow. They can provide security. They can provide growth. One investment can't do all three of those very well. They can provide liquidity, and they can provide potential income tax savings. And so with those five objectives in mind, you know, clearly when I meet with someone, I say, well, which of these do you want? And they always look at me and give me the same answer. Well, I'd like all five. And say, okay, great. Yeah, we do want all five, but we want to prioritize which is most important. So people will come in with an idea of, you know, what their priority is. Again, it might be security because they're retired. It's often cash flow because they're in retirement, and that's going to dictate their lifestyle. But we like to kind of change the discussion. I have a story about that I wanted to share. I have one of my advisors in our Utah office, and she recently talked to somebody that had set up an appointment and was going to meet. But then he wanted to know before he came what her pitch was going to be, what she was going to try and sell him. And she explained to him, well, that's not how this works, that she wanted to have a meeting to get to know him, what his priorities were, what his lifestyle ideas were, how he wanted to live his life. You know, we have many tools in our toolbox. We have all kinds of different investments we can put somebody in. So it's impossible it's actually malpractice, in my opinion, to just not even know somebody and say, this is what you need to invest in, and to go in with that in mind. And so, as a held to the fiduciary standard advisor and a Madrona financial advisor, she wasn't going to go in there with that. And so she explained that to him, and he didn't like that. I was shocked when I heard this story.
Wow.
I mean, this person did not want you to get to know their goals and objectives, their lifestyle plan, what was important to them, what's important to their spouse, what was important to their legacy wishes, what kind of life they wanted to live. That this person didn't want any of that out there. They just wanted to know what you were going to try and sell them so they can make a decision. And I just kind of chuckled. I said, well, probably a good thing that person canceled that appointment, because this isn't somebody that we're inclined to work with, frankly. And he was kind of put off that, you mean you're kind of interviewing me too? I was like, well, yeah, we don't want a bad match.
Right.
We don't want to, you know, bring someone on that doesn't want what we're trying to provide. If you want to be sold something, if you want to be sold a timeshare, go to a timeshare salesperson. If you want to be sold an annuity, there's plenty of radio shows out there where they're just trying to sell you an annuity, and that's fine. If you want long-term care, go to a long-term care specialist. If you know exactly what you want, you can go get that, but that's not who we are. We're comprehensive financial advisors. We're a CPA firm. We have product knowledge and accessibility in the stock market, the bond market, the cash and cash equivalents, the insurance company industry, real estate, alternative investments, all kinds of different areas. And so we don't know what we think we're going to advise to somebody until we've gone through some financial planning with that person to understand them, their life goals, objectives, where they're at in life, their experiences, where they want to be in the future, 5 years looking backwards, 10 years looking backwards. Then we can come up with recommendations. But it was very curious. I've not had that very often where somebody rejected the idea of us actually getting to know them and trying to, you know, align appropriate investments at the end of the process. Not the start of the process. But yeah, hey, there's a first time for everything, Jeff. This person wanted a sales pitch.
Wow.
And my advisor wasn't going to give him a sales pitch. And so he said, well, I'm moving on to somebody that will. I'm like, great. Have a nice life. We're not for everybody, evidently. So that's okay. It's perfectly okay. We always make sure when we talk to somebody new, we make them understand that they can say no at any time in the process.
Right.
And no hard feelings whatsoever. They can say no at any time in the process. It's okay. We want to align with people and want to work with us that we want to work with. And that's the best way to grow our business.
Yeah, and that was a highly unusual situation. I don't know that anybody really wants to be sold something, but if you want to be sold something, go someplace else, because that's not how we do it here at Madrona Financial. Earlier, you were talking about the five things that money can do for you, and we were talking about putting the cart before the horse, and you were talking about cash flow, security, growth, liquidity, and savings. And something that was interesting that I took from that conversation was that there is a particular order, or there's a priority that you put these things in. Now, does the priority or the order change with the individual person?
It's interesting that you were talking about how some people, you know, they just want to be sold. There are some people that want to just hear what they want to hear.
Right.
And so I talked about it last week on the show, where I was listening to another radio show when I was driving around on the weekend, and I just about, you know, ran into the ditch. This person was promoting an annuity with a guaranteed 30% bonus, which is fictitious. It's not real money. I consider a bonus something I could actually spend someday, but it was fictitious money and guaranteed returns of 8% a year, which is, again, erroneous. It's not accurate at all. It's a sales ploy. It's a manipulation strategy to get somebody to put their guard down. Oh, yeah, who wouldn't want 30% up front with a guaranteed 8% a year return? Who wouldn't want that? Anybody would want that. If I could offer that reality, I would sell a lot of that product, but that's not real. It's not accurate. I have access to that exact product, and it's not real money. It's a computational figure. I can't go to Costco and give them, say, all right, $600. And I'm like, well, here's a computational figure I'd like to pay with. And I'm like, well, what's that? Is that money? Well, no, it's not money, but my salesman assured me that it was. And come to find out it's not, but can I walk out of here with my $600 worth of Costco goods? And I'm like, no, you cannot. That's not real money. So be careful, buyer beware there. But it's important to understand what you're getting into and some of the ordering of things. And so again, some people want to be told what they want to be told. Okay, that's fine. We'll probably not work together. So we'll be honest about that. But the first one I want to talk about is having that lifestyle plan before you have a portfolio plan. And that was the example I talked about earlier with somebody who wanted, okay, make your pitch, tell me what you're going to try and sell me. Well, that's not what we do. We need a lifestyle plan. We need to understand you. We need to know even nuances, like for instance, age of the people. Maybe the husband is older than the wife, maybe by a lot of years. We have a different kind of planning process, you know, if they're about the same age, same health, and one where they're not, where there's a disparate means there. Are you retired? Are you not? What are your other assets? How do you feel about security? What's your investment experience? So, you know, there's countless data points that we want to address. But when we're doing a financial plan, we're really asking about, okay, 5 years from now, as I mentioned earlier, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what kind of lifestyle do you want to live? What do you want your cash flow to be? What do you want your assets to be? What's your legacy plan, your gifting plan? What's your healthcare plan? You know, lots of different things, but mostly, what is your lifestyle plan? So I think one of the most important things is, as we read things on the internet, as we listen to radio, we watch TV on these financial shows, it's product. It's in, you know, what you're investing in. And we're going to turn that on its heel. And so for those people that are more interested in your lifestyle than the products that are in your portfolio, you're mostly interested in living the life you want to live. That's where we start. So we put that cart before the horse, other people put the cart before the horse there, I'll say. And we actually want to talk about your lifestyle, what you want that lifestyle to look like, how you want to live your life. That's where it all starts for us. And the filling in the portfolio, the investments, the mix, all that stuff actually becomes the easy part once we know the answer to that.
If you're not sure that you have things in the proper order, if you think that there is a misalignment in terms of your financial direction, or maybe things are just a little simplified, listen up because we've got some good news for you. You can give us a call here at Madrona Financial and request your Madrona analysis. The number to call, 833-673-7373, 833-673-7373. There's no cost, there is no obligation for this whatsoever. Just a friendly conversation for us to get to know you so that we can know what to put in your portfolio to get you to your desired goal. Once again, no cost, no obligation for this. You've got to have $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify. But if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Once again, it's not going to cost you anything, so make that call right now. Phone lines are open as you're listening to this radio program. 833-673-7373. That's 833-673-7373. One call could make all the difference. Brian, we've been talking about the 5 good strategies that many people implement incorrectly. I think we've covered the lifestyle plan before the portfolio here in the first section. So let's jump into the income planning before tax planning.
Yeah, income planning before tax planning is really important because a lot of people come to me, okay, you're a CPA, how do I get out of income tax? I'm like, well, it's a little more complicated than that. There's your tier one and tier two. Your tier one is, in my opinion, is where you earn money, wages and so forth. And you really don't get out of that. You can't just defer, I'm going to earn a bunch of money, I'm going to defer 10 years. That's not how it works. We're on a cash basis when it comes to that. It's what you do with that money once you paid the tax on the first go around that you can invest in things that maybe have tax advantages. You can make smart decisions. So sometimes people come to me and they want to do tax planning before the investments, and that's okay in certain circumstances. So for instance, they have highly appreciated investment in real estate. Okay, we want to figure out a strategy to get out of the tax, and then we'll talk about the other areas, the cash flow planning, security, and so forth. Or they have a business they want to sell. So there's one big potential tax hit that we want to talk about, various strategies on that. But for the most part, tax planning comes after other things because it's more important. In one of the chapters in one of my books called Don't Let the Tax Tail Wag the Dog. Don't make decisions based upon the current tax situation where it's not the critical piece of the investment. Make sure it's a lifestyle decision. So we want to make sure that people in retirement that we're working with had the income to support the lifestyle they want to live. Once we're figuring that out, when there are opportunities to do tax planning, let's say recognize some capital gains when your rate is zero, do some Roth conversions when your taxable income is in the 0 or 12% bracket, doing a 1031 exchange for your investment real estate, opportunity zone investment for goodwill on the sale of a business, maybe installment contract sale. There are a lot of tax strategies obvious out there, talking about selling your principal residence, taking advantage of the $500,000 exclusion if you have that available to you. There are lots of tax things that we can figure out. We like to do tax plans for people. We like to analyze their tax returns. So I'm not saying it's not important, but generally for most of our clients, it's not first. It's generally comes after items like cash flow. Cash flow seems to be something that most retirement people, you know, would you like to save some money on taxes in retirement, or would you like to be able to live the life you want to live and spend money and have money to spend? And most people, well, I want to live. I want to live the life I want to live. Of course, I want to save on taxes when available. But generally speaking, the cash flow planning comes before tax planning.
So it makes a lot of sense to have income planning before tax planning. But when it comes to gifting, is income planning just like tax planning? Is that coming before the gifting part?
Well, that's another interesting one. When I define gifting as one of the steps to a successful retirement, that's what you give away when you're alive. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of people that when I talk to a couple, I point out some things that maybe aren't really obvious, because often the person that's handling the finances might be older and they kind of dominate the conversation. And I will remind them sometimes, and sometimes they don't like to hear this, but I will remind them, financial advising is really for the younger of you two, the one that's going to be around the longest from this point forward. So let's say it's the male is dominating the conversation and he's 10 years older than his wife. You know, his life expectancy isn't even as long with her as hers is. We never know, of course. But in this case, they might say, I'll say, well, what's your best guess? And often they'll say, well, she's going to outlive me by 10 or 15 years. I'm like, well, really, our financial planning is for her more than is for you. You know, if you passed away, yeah, I don't need to do a lot of financial planning for you other than your legacy plan. And that is one of our steps, of course. But gifting's the other one. Is financial planning, some people are like, well, I got to leave my money to my kids. I'm like, okay, how much? All of it? Okay. How much do you want to live on? Very little, because I got to leave my money to my kids. And then, you know, the question might be, is that really what you want? And often it's like, well, not really. I kind of want to live the life I want to live and leave them what's left, if there is any. And like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. So a lot of times people come in with the idea that they can't spend any of their principal. And so they might say, well, I get some interest, I get some rents, I get some dividends, that's $50,000 a month in my portfolio. I've got a couple million, you know, I got $3 million, but I only get $50,000 of actual cash flow. And so that's all I can spend. I'm like, whoa, wait a second here. We could spend more than that. We could spend some of the growth. We could spend some of the principal. It's your money. You get to live the lifestyle you want to live. And then if there's something left over for your kids, fine. And so that's the gifting part. And so I kind of want to prioritize the people in front of me over people that are not in the room. And they're all important. I mean, gifting to your kids, there can be some real good reasons to give to your kids when you're alive, or to have a lot of money left to them when you pass away. That's fine. Same thing with charities, same discussion. But I always kind of want to take care of the people sitting in front of me across the desk from me first. And so the prioritization is cash flow for the people sitting in front of me over gifting away their cash flow that they can't use to live on.
So keeping in mind that we want to put things in the proper order, of course, income planning before tax planning, as you said, income planning before gifting. But what do we want to put ahead of Social Security optimization?
Yeah, again, it comes back to lifestyle planning. And so we have to consider many different things. We can run a Social Security optimization program, but that doesn't tell us everything we need to know. Sometimes we want to make sure that, again, if I'm financial planning for, let's say there's a disparity in ages and the higher income earner is older, there might be a situation where we want to protect, have some security built in for the younger person. And so we want to wait in that case for the higher incomer before they take their top amount of Social Security at age 70, that if they pass away and their widow is around, let's say 10, 15 more years, that widow has the security of knowing they're going to get the highest amount of Social Security payout based upon the higher earner's income. So again, the Social Security optimization is part of the process, of course, but it has to do with the lifestyle. It has to do with where you're at in life, life expectancy. I think most financial planning, at least as it relates to Madrona financial planning, what we do for clients, the lifestyle planning is the key. I could probably put lifestyle planning ahead of everything, really, because what is your life about? What's a year of your life worth, for instance? All these are super important. And, you know, rate of return of one CD versus an annuity or something like that. You know, I haven't seen anybody's gravestone say, hey, my annuity outperformed my CD by 1.5, you know, 15 basis points or whatever.
Cost extra to have that on there, by the way. Yeah, people don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, you probably don't want to pay for that. You probably could because you got an extra, you know, 150 basis points for your annuity. But the reality is we want to live the life we want to live. And so really when our financial planning comes down to that over and over and over, and you notice that doesn't have anything to do with product speak.
So lifestyle planning comes first. Everything else falls in behind that. Let's talk about protection planning. What comes before that?
Yeah, cash flow planning comes before protection planning, in my thinking. And we want both. Don't say, you know, it's not that I don't want protection planning. But gosh, I got too many stories of people that have been too safe with their money that weren't able to retire. The famous story of the lady that was in her retirement plan at work for 40 years and her co-workers were all retiring at age 65. And she's like, oh, they all have like $1.2 million in their accounts. And I have under 200,000. And we all put away the same amount my whole time. I said, well, let me look at your statement. What are you in? She says, I'm in cash because I'm nervous about markets. How long have you been in cash? 40 years. I think, well, you put in like 175,000, you've got 200 now. They put in 175,000, they got $1.2 million now. They get to retire, you don't. I'm sorry, you needed to take risk during that time period. And so often we can focus on protection planning too early in life. You know, you don't want to have, I don't think a 20, 30, 40 year old should be putting money into the safe account of their 401k plan, the stable income, you know, the stable accounts. I mean, you know, that's a grand strategy for somebody in their 70s or in retirement for some of their assets potentially. But, you know, I always wanted the go for it scenario where I have decades on my side. I don't want to do protection planning too early. And you don't want to have too much protection in your portfolio, because you always give something up. Everything that you get something for, oh, protection planning sounds great. I'll put it all in annuities, right? Well, you might be giving up growth. And that can be a really important thing, especially when I'm talking to a 60-year-old and you're going, well, I'm nearing retirement. I better protect all my assets, right? And I say, what's your life expectancy? And well, I expect to live to 90. I'm like, well, that's 30 years. That sounds like a long time to me. Do you want to play it safe for 30 years with all of your money? It's okay if you do, but they often go, well, of course I don't. That makes sense. 30 years is a long time, isn't it? I can have some protected, some doing growth, some doing cash flow, some tax savings, some liquidity. Ah, now we're talking. So, you know, we're trying to integrate all the different areas and not get too hot or cold on any one of them. But your question was what often comes before protection planning, and that would be cash flow planning. Because again, cash flow dials right back into lifestyle plan, which is really kind of the crux of the conversation.
So putting the cart before the horse, unfortunately, is something that many people do. They are subject to being sold a product. And, you know, to review a little bit here, lifestyle plan before portfolio, income planning comes before tax planning, income planning again before gifting, lifestyle planning before Social Security optimization, and finally, cash flow planning before protection planning. What is your takeaway from this particular part of our show today?
Yeah, as I review the five things that we were talking about, what's interesting to me is they basically were about lifestyle and income and cash flow. And so, again, living the life you want to live. So when we come back to it, in the end, having a product on a portfolio does not necessarily change your life. Like some people that come to the end of their life and go, I had a successful life. Look at how many zeros are on my investment statement. Lots of zeros, lots of numbers, lots of holdings. And now that I'm at the end of my life, I had a successful life. I had lots of holdings. Well, I'm being facetious here. That is not what most people think. Your lifestyle should be the lifestyle you want to live. Portfolios accounts are tools. Investments are tools to help us live that lifestyle we want to live. But they are not the end all be all. They're not the product that we should be focusing on, in my opinion. And so when we're listening to the radio, when we're watching the TV, when we're reading articles about that, and they're all product centric, that's fine. We want to understand products and so forth, how they work in different markets. But in the end, I think it's so much more important to be focusing on the lifestyle, the cash flow, the income, to allow us to live the life we want to live using the tools within the different portfolio investment options.
So if you're not sure that you put the cart before the horse, you don't have things in the proper order, at the end of the day, what do you want? Growth versus safety? Do you want to pay the least in taxes? If you're not sure that your portfolio is set up properly, let's solve that problem for you right now. Phone lines are open, 833-673-7373. Call that number and request your comprehensive Madrona analysis. It's not going to cost you a dime, totally complimentary. And as I said, phone lines are open right now, 833-673-7373, and set up that appointment so that you can talk to an advisor at Madrona Financial and make sure that your plan is in the proper order. Brian, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing the difference between your standard plan and a comprehensive plan. Stay tuned.
Do you ever worry if your CPA and financial advisor are on the same page? You won't have to if you call Madrona Financial and CPAs at 844-MADRONA or go to madronafinancial.com. Now back to more of Growing Your Wealth.
If you're just joining us, this is Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans. I'm Jeff Shade. And in the first segment of the show, we just finished discussing five good strategies that many people implement incorrectly. Now, if you want to hear the show again or you've missed that part of the show, don't worry. We're also a podcast. Just go to wherever you get your podcast, search for Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans. You're going to get the show and weekday takeaways so that you can stay on top of your wealth and how to grow it. Brian, we welcome to our program again today Dr. Richard Himmer. He's a partner with Madrona Financial, and he's got a word for us today about the non-financial side of retirement. Richard?
Thank you, Jeff. When visions of retirement dance through folks' noggins, it's often full of activities, hobbies, friends, family, learning, growing, and traveling. While to others, envisioning retirement is filled with relaxing and chilling, perhaps sleeping in and hanging out. Retirement is a concept many eagerly anticipate, envisioning a well-deserved respite after years of hard work. Let me provide four definitions for clarity in the context of retirement. Money. Money is an object, a servant, something to be controlled, a commodity to trade with. For example, we trade our time and services for money. In turn, we trade our money for items of need and want. Many people spend their time at work so they can spend more time with their family. Now, there are some people who trade their time with family for more time at work because they medicate at work, running away from family. Wealth. Now, wealth is a process. It's not an event. It's a mindset of having enough, for example, enough time, enough love, or friends, family, exercise, conversation, enough challenges, and there's always the technical and social skills, and finally, enough understanding. Money can buy wealth because it, money, affords one opportunities not available without the money. Poor. Poor is not having enough. You can have a ton of money and still be poor. You might not have enough conversation. You won't have enough friends or family or skills or understanding. And then I define effective retirement as the ability to achieve sufficient wealth to maintain or exceed the quality of life that existed before retirement. Now, there's five stages of retirement that researchers have outlined. This purpose is to help us understand what we can expect moving forward through that retirement stage. The first one is the pre-retirement. This involves envisioning and planning for the transition. This phase emphasizes various aspects beyond financial preparation, and this is where I come in, including emotional intelligence and relationship building. Upon reaching the second stage, which is called full retirement, individuals ideally experience a fulfilling sense of wealth. Notice the term wealth meaning having enough. So this encompasses not only financial security, but having sufficient time and relationships and health. The challenge is this stage is often fleeting, or perhaps fails to materialize due to inadequate planning. In other words, step one didn't happen. So disenchantment marks the third stage, characterized by unmet expectations and a sense of disillusionment. Insufficient preparation in the preceding stages, meaning stage one, contributes to this disillusionment, leading to mental health challenges and social isolation. Step four is reorientation. This entails resetting expectations and planning anew. To say it differently, you have to start over at step one. And finally, step five, reconciliation and stability, is really step two because you didn't do step one the first time. Overall, proactive engagement with the pre-retirement stage is crucial, vital, necessary to navigate the retirement process successfully and avoid potential disillusionment and the challenge that happens with steps three, four, and five. Whether you're approaching retirement or you're already there, prioritizing emotional intelligence and holistic planning can facilitate a more fulfilling and stable transition into what I call this bonus half of life. Brian and I have spent years exploring the psychological aspects of retirement, and now we're thrilled to launch a podcast delving into retirement's psychological, emotional, social, and health dimensions. Join us as we uncover how retirement can truly be life's bonus chapter, given the proper preparation, of course. So visit hownottoretire.com to subscribe to our podcast, where we're going to discuss the keys to a fulfilling retirement. Once there, you can subscribe to the podcast, join our newsletter, and even schedule a consultation with a trained advisor. Additionally, I've authored several ebooks addressing emotional intelligence and the skills necessary to shape your retirement journey. That's hownottoretire.com. I'll see you there.
Thanks, Richard. Brian, I recently met with an old friend for lunch, and when I saw him, he was smiling from ear to ear. So I asked him how things were going, and he told me that he had just put the majority of his assets in an annuity that was going to take care of all of his needs for the rest of his life. He said he was going to retire at the end of the month. Is that really that easy?
Well, it might appear to be that easy, but it really isn't. Because here's an example of what I see out there. Let's say that somebody has $2.5 million for retirement, and they're focused on cash flow. They've been reading up about it, and they read this thing called the 4% rule. And it says you should be able to take 4% of your portfolio a year. So they listen to the radio, and they heard somebody promise them 8%, guaranteed return 8%. They go, well, $2.5 million times 8%, that sounds like $200,000 a year. Man, I would be set. So I'm going to do that. Because it's a guarantee. I don't have to worry about it, right? 8%. Oh my gosh, $200,000 a year. That sounds awesome. So smiling ear to ear. And then when they get their first check, they go, oh, wait a second. It's half that. It's only 4%. Well, where's my 8? Well, 8 was something that's called a roll-up. A roll-up isn't money. That's just how much, if you don't take 12 checks that year, how much your future checks will go up by. Kind of like Social Security. If you wait, you get more later. And like, oh, well, I started taking my money because I need to live on it. How much do I get? I don't get 8%? No, you get 4. I'm like, oh, so I have $100,000 a year guaranteed. Yeah, guaranteed for life, $100,000 a year. Great. Okay, well, if I live a good long life, I live to be, 85 years old, I can leave my $2.5 million to my kids, right? Because I'm taking 4% guaranteed, right? No, I guarantee that your remaining balance left to your kids in this annuity will be zero, nothing. Wait a second. I thought I was getting 8%. Now you tell me I'm getting 4, but even that 4 isn't even a return on investment. That is principal and investment income. And if I live a long enough life, I will have zero residual for my legacy, for my kids, for anything, my charities, whatever, nothing. Yeah. And that's right. And so here's an example. Oh, and by the way, the $2.5 million, which he thought he was going to get $200,000 a year, and now it's $100,000 a year. What is it in 15 years? $100,000 a year. What does $100,000 a year buy you in 15 years? About half of what it does today, depending on inflation. I was like, wow, that is a wake up call. And once you're in that, you're kind of stuck. You've turned on that income for life. You bought that annuity. You listened to that salesperson. You didn't know the questions to ask. You didn't know that it wasn't told to you that you're spending your own principal, that you have no legacy assets, that there really isn't an 8% guaranteed return, and there's no accounting for inflation. Those things were left out of the sales pitch. And so when you fall for the sales pitch, you can devastate your retirement. So there's an example of not knowing what the right question to ask is, just on a basic thing. We thought it was so simple. I just gave you all my money, you put it into a guaranteed return, an annuity, cash flow for life. Gosh, that sounds simple. Mm-hmm. Well, it's simply a very bad plan,
right,
to put all your money in that annuity. I'm sorry. You were sold a product that wasn't what they said it was going to do for you. They left out the most important things as it relates to so many people. They left out inflation. They left out legacy. They left out return. They left out principal. They left out all that stuff. So I'm seeing that so much out there. We have a whole industry focused on selling that product to people. And again, I can sell that product to somebody. And maybe it's okay for 10% of their portfolio or 20% to make sure we have a particular amount of cash flow and a particular amount of security. But 100%, not so much.
Well, I think it's only human nature, Brian, for people to want that easy button. And as you said, I mean, some people just want to be sold something, whether or not they know they want to be sold it or not. And as you said, a lot of people struggle to ask all the right questions. It seems to me that some of these oversimplified plans, they really tend to neglect a lot of these risks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of things. We got to go into the what ifs. So one of the things that I get asked is, what if the tax law changes? What if tax rates go up? Well, I pretty much guarantee they're probably going to go up during our lifetime because, the federal government's borrowing a lot of money they don't have, and they're spending a lot of money by borrowing it from future generations. That money's got to come from somewhere just to pay the interest on it. And that interest charge is going up dramatically of late. And so tax rates can go up, tax laws can change. I don't generally see tax laws change where the taxes get cut. They generally go up. And so that can be a big problem. Now, one situation just came up. I was talking to one of my advisors, and she had a situation where somebody wanted to do a 1031 exchange into investment real estate. They wanted to sell some California real estate in this case, and they didn't want to pay the income tax. But their question was a very good question, I thought. Well, what if the tax law changes? What if they do away with 1031 exchanges, even though that's been in the law for over 100 years now? It's always on the chopping block, it seems like. And so what if that changes? And it occurred to me that, gosh, isn't it nice that she can ask me this question? She can ask other CPAs on her staff, because we're also a CPA firm, Bauer Evans CPAs. And so I was able to address that. I said, well, yes, that could happen. They could change the tax law. But wouldn't you like your advisor to be able to pivot, to talk to the CPAs on staff to figure out a solution? So in this case, with a 1031 exchange, we would likely go into what's called a Section 721 UPREIT, and it would issue, kind of technical here, OP units. But what this basically is a perpetual landing place for 1031 exchange assets, so that where a Delaware statutory trust has a life where it would sell at some point in time, an OP unit in a Section 721 exchange would not necessarily do that. And so then the follow-up question is, well, what if the sponsor of that 1031 Delaware statutory trust did not have 721 exchanges? I pretty much guarantee you they're not going to let their business go away if the tax law is changing. So they will pivot. And so knowing the answers to these, I just got real technical there, Jeff. Sorry about that.
I love that kind of talk, though, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the point is that as taxes change, as laws change, as your situation changes, having a financial advisor is also a CPA firm, and has access to that internally in our own staff, can make a mountain of difference when you're doing tax planning and understanding the questions to ask. You don't even have to know the question. We know the questions to ask and the opportunities that present themselves if tax laws changes or tax rates change accordingly.
You were talking about oversimplified plans, and sometimes these plans count on inflation not going anywhere.
That's right. And so oversimplified plan is, as I mentioned earlier, the lifetime cash flow annuity with a flat payout with no residual to your heirs. That wasn't bad enough. I mentioned, what if inflation happened? And boy, it happened, and it happened fast and furious. And the one thing about inflation, the politicians want us to think that, well, it was here last year, but it's not here anymore. It's like, well, yeah, but it's a permanent thing. It's not something that happened and went back to where it was. prices didn't go up 25% at the grocery store and then retract 25%. Prices went up 25 and then their rate of growth slowed. But for the rest of your life, that 25 is built in. That's a permanent kind of feature. Inflation is that way. And so it's not about just, okay, what was the rate of change of inflation this year? It's what has it been and what did my income do during that time? So I can pretty much guarantee that most people that were retired and saw, you know, their expenses go up, I'll just pick a number, 25%, they did not factor that in necessarily to their plan. And especially if they bought a lifetime annuity without increasing cash flow, they just took a permanent 25% pay cut. And it's like, wow. And that's going to get worse before it gets better. Yep. Because every year, add something to that pay cut because inflation's persistent. And it's cumulative. It continues every year. Every time we go to the grocery store, we're spending 25% or whatever percent more than we did 5 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever. And 5 years from now, it's going to be worse. And so knowing that, we have to do a plan that takes into account inflation as a real thing, that we can't just go in there. And I've seen plans come out and people go, well, I'm going to go with this other advisor. I'm like, okay, why is that? Well, they show I'm going to have $6 million. I have $1.5 million now. I'm going to have $6 million when I pass away from my heirs. I'm like, really? They have a better stock market than I have? Well, no, probably not. But their plan is better. I'm like, oh, well, that's because they assumed 8 to 10% growth on investments and 1 to 2% inflation. Gosh, that's easy to do. Those are just numbers. Garbage in, garbage out. Any spreadsheet can produce whatever you want it to produce if you have the wrong input. And so we don't do that. We're very conservative with our input. We make sure we don't overpromise on projected rates of return. We make sure we understand that annuities go away eventually if you're taking a lifetime cash flow. We understand that inflation is real, and we kind of marry that up with the rate of return to make sure we're not oversimplifying things when we do our financial plans.
If you're listening to the program today and you're asking yourself this question, boy, Brian really does have a deep toolbox there at Madrona Financial. My financial advisor maybe doesn't have a toolbox that deep. I'm worried that I've just got a standard plan when I need a comprehensive plan. If these are the questions that you're asking yourself, well, I've got some good news for you. We've opened the phone lines for you right now to call 833-673-7373. Now, what's going to happen when you call that number today is you'll be asking for your Madrona analysis. It's just a friendly conversation between you and an advisor at Madrona to ask the questions that you need to determine whether or not your plan needs to be more comprehensive. It's not going to cost you a dime. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373, and you can make that call right now. Now, you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify, but if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373, to schedule your Madrona analysis, just a friendly conversation. This one call could make all the difference. We're talking with Brian Evans of Madrona Financial and CPAs, and we're talking about the difference between a simplified plan and a comprehensive plan. Brian, we have covered a lot here in this particular segment. What happens when the market goes down? I would imagine that a simplified plan is going to fall short there.
Yeah, when we have a simplified plan, we just talk about the market. And at Madrona, we have lots of tools in our toolbox where our investors can invest, whether it's cash, CDs, fixed annuities, indexed annuities for accumulation or for lifetime cash flow, universal life, premium finance, opportunity zone investments, Delaware statutory trusts, structured notes, buffered ETFs, private non-traded equity REITs, debt instruments, private equity. None of those are the market. The market we think about is stock market. And so there's so many things, you know, so when somebody says, well, what happens when the market goes down? I'm like, well, it's not if, it's when, because statistically the stock market goes down 1/3 of the time. So let's say you have a 30-year retirement. Statistically, we should have about 10 years where the market goes down. So it's not really a if, it's a when. And so given that, we have to redefine what the market even is. We have all the tools in the toolbox. We're not just here trying to sell somebody an annuity. We're not just here trying to sell somebody a 60-40 stock bond split. We always go back to the lifestyle planning, and we have all those different tools to work with. And so it's funny, you know, I don't even know how to answer that question, Jeff. Sometimes when you, what happens when the market goes down, my brain just about explodes. I'm like, which market? Or what do you mean if? Or, you know, it's when it will go down. And what do we have around that? What protections do we have? Because we want to have money in the market. Generally, most of us want to have money in the stock market. It can be one of the best growth areas long term, but we don't necessarily want all of our assets in the market. if we're in retirement, for sure. And so where is that proper balance? So really, again, this segment's about oversimplification. Oversimplifying is saying, don't be in the market. It's going to go down 10 years out of 30. Put it all in an annuity. That's oversimplification. That's not what we're about. Oversimplification is put all your money in the market. It'll be good 20 out of the next 30 years. Or they just give you a long-term thing saying, it's always up over time. And it's like, well, that's fine. But if some of those 10 years of the next 30 are down at the early part of your retirement, you could be in big trouble due to sequence of return risks.
Brian, what happens when your health declines? I mean, annuities are not long-term care.
They are not. And so they're often sold as a substitute for long-term care. But really, all you're talking about is accelerating a payout, not replacing it. And so long-term care is a separate product from annuities. And so we have to be real careful. We were told what we wanted to hear. We were told it had guarantees of 8%, a 30% bonus. Not true, not true. We were told it was long-term care. Not true. There's too much misinformation out there. So health does decline. I'm sorry, people, we age, our health declines, generally speaking, over time. And so we have to assess that and understand, do the analysis. Part of that financial planning is, what if? What if we have a long-term care episode that we need? What does that look like? And so forth. So that's part of the financial planning. We do have to plan for the good, the lifestyle that we want to live, and the bad when our health declines.
And Brian, in most situations, married couples get to the point in life where at some point, one of those spouses is going to pass away. So when that happens, what is a comprehensive plan that can solve the problems? And furthermore, Brian, what are the problems when one spouse passes away?
Well, there's a lot of issues here. And so when I talk about financial planning, I mentioned earlier in the show that really I'm financial planning for the surviving spouse, because the one that passed away first obviously doesn't need financial assets other than as it relates to their legacy plan. That's one of the seven steps, is your legacy plan. So there is financial planning after someone passes away, but there's more literally for the surviving spouse. And so some of the things that we don't think about necessarily are what happens to Social Security. Well, one of those Social Security checks is going away. And so there's going to be less money there. You might say, well, I'm going to spend less because my spouse isn't around anymore. Well, a lot of people have pensions, and maybe the pension's going to go away. They picked a single life to get a little bit higher check during their lifetime. And so I've seen that many times where a pension is going away. Another thing happens, a big thing that we don't really think about, is your income brackets change. That single people have a much, much higher tax bracket on their marginal tax brackets when a spouse passes away. And so all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, my tax rates just went way up. And here's another thing that can happen. You know, maybe they're going to sell their house. It's too big and their spouse passed away. So they're going to sell their house. They lived in it a few more years. And all of a sudden it's like, what do you mean I don't get a $500,000 exclusion from gain? I only get $250,000? Yeah, you're single. Oh my gosh, well, what happens when I sell my house now that I have a big gain to pay tax on? Well, your Medicare surcharge goes way up. You're going to get a lot less of a check in Social Security, and you lost a Social Security check, and maybe you lost a pension check. It's like, whoa, wait a second. It's bad enough I lost my spouse. Oh, and my taxes went up because my marginal brackets are higher. These are things that we need to address in financial planning, because generally speaking, one spouse, if you're married, is going to pass away well before the other one. They're not going to pass away at the same time unless you're in a terrible accident. So we have to plan for what if one of you is around for a period of time, and maybe that period of time, and it often is the case, that period of time is more than a decade. And so our financial planning has to do with that kind of depth. It's we can't oversimplify that. All those things I just brought up are real things that happen to real people, real surviving spouses. And again, it's bad enough you're dealing with the death of your spouse, but now you got to deal with all those things I just mentioned.
And many of those standard plans, as you said, they solve for income alone, but they ignore many of the other possible factors that we have talked about here on our radio program. And, you know, when I think about the possible factors that go into a comprehensive plan, it brings me back to our book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Talk a little bit about some of the things, some of those 7 steps that are in there, and why they should be in a comprehensive plan.
Yeah, successful retirement is not about money. It's a component, but it's a tool. We need tools to do the job, but it's not the end all be all. You know, again, we never see the graveyard. I died happy. I'm the richest guy in the graveyard. You know, that's just not what life's about for most people. So the very first step is lifestyle planning, which really doesn't have that much to do with money. It's how you want to live your life. What's the life you want to live? Maybe it involves money. Maybe it involves a lot, maybe a little, maybe, you know, whatever. And we do have to account for that. But we do that with the other steps. The first step, the critical step, is what's the lifestyle you want to live? And so planning for that, having purpose. I had an observation this week. I had a number of calls with clients, and it occurred to me that a lot of them, they wanted something, some purpose. They, you know, a lot of our conversations were about, I'm retired now. I kind of need something more to do. I kind of, you know, when we talk about this kind of stuff, what does your retirement look like? Not just how much money do you have to spend, but what does it look like? What does your lifestyle look like? What is living the life you want to live look like? And so we were focusing on that because, frankly, I felt like some of them were just kind of bored and they wanted to talk about things, but they needed to maybe find a little bit more structure as to what their lifestyle looks like. But that's the first step, figuring out what your lifestyle plan looks like.
Brian, what are some of the other seven steps to a successful retirement?
Yeah, once we've established a lifestyle plan, a couple of them are kind of work together. There's a cash flow planning, portfolio planning, protection planning. And so, you know, these are kind of more the, what do your investments do for you? Do they provide the cash flow you need to live on? Are you protected when that market does go down? Do you have the adequate growth potential within your portfolio? So they kind of work together, but they're very different. They would have different solutions with that. Certainly tax planning is another one of them. That's kind of an overriding thing. But we don't lead with that. As I mentioned in the first part of the show today, that tax planning comes after the lifestyle planning and the investment planning. Tax planning can be a primary focus, but that has to do with more situationally, like you're going to sell your residence, you're going to sell rental, investment real estate, you're going to retire, you're thinking about Roth conversions, or you're selling a business. Certainly tax planning comes into play there. Now, one of the common themes with these, again, the first five steps, lifestyle planning, cash flow, portfolio, tax and protection planning. Once you have established that for yourself, now we can look to others. The last two steps, gift planning and legacy planning. I break those out separately because gift planning has to do with giving away money while you're alive. That tells me you have excess cash flow. You've done a good job on those other steps that we were just talking about. You have enough left over for gifting to maybe your kids for their first house, maybe your grandkids for their education, that kind of stuff, or your charity while you're alive. The final step is the legacy planning, and that's gifting. That also involves taking care of your spouse when you're not around anymore. And then it also can be to your kids and your charities and so forth. So that has to do with after you pass. So again, to summarize the seven steps, the lifestyle plan, which I think is the most important, cash flow planning is probably a second. And then the other ones kind of go together, portfolio planning, protection, tax planning. And then finally, if you have excess assets, gifting while you're alive, and legacy planning when you pass.
And Brian, I think if our listeners are listening to this program today and they're thinking to themselves, I really think that my financial plan is oversimplified. I'm really looking for more of a comprehensive plan, and you want to take some action on that, call 833-673-7373 right now and request your Madrona analysis. You've got to have $500,000 or more to qualify. If you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, Seven Steps to a Successful Retirement. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373. Well, Brian, we're out of time for this week. I want to thank you for your time, but most of all, certainly, as every week, I want to thank our listeners for joining us. For Brian Evans, I'm Jeff Shade. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week, right here, with another edition of Growing Your Wealth.
No statements made during the Growing Your Wealth show should constitute tax, legal, or accounting advice. You should consult your own legal or tax professional on your own individual information. Brian Evans and Madrona Financial Services is licensed to offer investment advisory services through Madrona Financial Services, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Insurance products are offered through Madrona Insurance Services, LLC, a licensed insurance agency and an affiliate of Madrona Financial Services. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investors cannot invest directly into indexes. No investment strategy, including asset allocation and diversification, guarantees a profit or guarantees the avoidance of loss. Financial planning is an important tool that does not guarantee specific outcomes. DST investments are only available to accredited investors and offered solely through the issuers offering documents. The DST sponsor determines whether to accept any individual subscription documents. Madrona Financial and CPAs is a registered trade name used singly and collectively for the affiliate entities. Madrona Financial Services, LLC, Madrona and Bauer Evans, Inc., PC. Bauer Evans. Investment advisory services are provided through Madrona. CPA services are provided through Bauer Evans.